everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Charles Watson says this isn't showing up on upcoming live streams for Odyssey. I had to go to Twitter to find the link. Yeah, Odyssey has been changing their homepage display. Here I see it on the homepage display of my channel, so I guess it's a momentary defect. They've had a few defects like this. I don't think it is censorship in this case. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Cloud Warmer, I'll get to your super chat. But before, we have a group of Canadian scholars who are attempting an experiment, blowing up fireworks in a crowded bus. This is ultra dangerous. Why would you do this? You could end up with people losing their eye. If they just get one of these explosives in the eye, you can end up being blind.
Shit! It's not popping!
You fucking idiot!
Holy
fuck!
Go!
Shit!
It's not popping!
You fucking idiot! Absolutely dangerous. This person should be put in jail, no matter his age. Don't do this. You're going to hurt yourself permanently and hurt others. Cloud Warmer has sent a super chat, a series of super chat. He says, Jeff, how dare we wait for more information like that lady said yesterday? We now have more information concerning the city bike incident. Now we have the explanation, because we've had the explanation from the side of the white nurse. She has the receipt. She paid for it. It was her bike. But now we have the explanation from the side of the black guy. And Cloud Warmer cites him, cites the article, due to his family receiving benefits. He said he gets a discount on city bike rides, but after 45 minutes, the rate on the bikes increases. In order to avoid the higher charge, he frequently stops his rides and resets the clock by redocking the bike. Aha! Cloud Warmer says, this is my electrocock vehicle. No, it's mine. Can't you see I'm standing next to it? But I booked it. It says right here on my androgynous portable tracking device. This is the you-will-own-nothing communal property utopia they have planned for us, Jeff. Possession is 9 out of 10 of the law. I agree. And that is a perfect example of communal property doesn't exist. Even the communists will fight for a city bike that cost apparently zero on both sides, because the white nurse, we saw that it was a charge of zero on her card, so I guess she has a monthly pass. The black guy, he's now telling us that he's getting rebates on these bikes, but he has to recharge them every 40 minutes because the rebates are supposed to be just to help poor people a little bit, but not to help them have a constant bike. Well, there you go. Communal property doesn't exist. It's an illusion, and everything is so much better in society when communal property is reduced to an absolute minimum. Cloud Warmer says, the most powerful freedoms that a personal, privately owned vehicle gives to the average person are the freedom of movement, the freedom of autonomy, and in large part, protection from the outside world. Crowder has learned it. This woman has learned it. Everyone else should learn it by watching. Exactly. The idea of a car, you know, we don't use our cars in a way that there wouldn't be more space for some other people potentially to use them. You know, it's always been the case that the car that's standing in your court, and perhaps you even have two cars or more for your whole family, they are getting underused. But that is the point. The point is, when I buy a car, I'm not buying a service of transportation. I'm buying the possibility of moving whenever I want, whenever I need to. That is super important. John Drake says the biggest bully gets the best stuff in commie world. Exactly. The one who's willing to fight more, the one who's willing to check box many oppression categories will get the bike. NYC high school senior, 17, who claimed his city bike was stolen by pregnant hospital worker in viral video, says he rode the same bike from the Bronx and was redocking it briefly to avoid higher fee. So who do you think was right? Well, it's pretty clear here that the defense of the black guy is, hey, I was in the process of committing fraud. You are intervening in that process. It's my bike, but it's not your bike. As it is so beautifully laid out in a what's this movie by the Coen brothers? Coen brothers movie with Tom Hanks, The Lady Killers, 2004. In The Lady Killers, 2004, Tom Hanks explains, "You are not entitled to a claim of harm, as you are engaging in the enterprise of a fraudulent act, which is criminal by nature." Beautiful sentence. It made me laugh my ass off. Where Tom Hanks is kind of this classy robber. And he's explaining to the other robbers that they don't have employment rights with him. And he's explaining it in such a classy way. It is absolutely stunning. That is probably the greatest performance of Tom Hanks in his life. Of course, people will say, the classic Tom Hanks, whatever. I forget the name of the movie, but the movie where he's stupid, Forrest Gump. But to me, if Tom Hanks in The Lady Killers is absolutely brilliant. But yeah, you are not entitled to other people getting into your fraudulent manipulation of the state's record. And on top of it, whether the white woman wants to understand this or not, that's her prior. But she puts her debit card. It's her bike now. The bike was in a slot available. She paid for it, so it's her bike now. You lost it because you couldn't. You weren't allowed to keep that bike for yourself. That's why you redocked it. That's why you put it back here, because you had reached your time limit and you were trying to exploit the system that tried to be generous to you. You were trying to deceive the city bike enterprise here. You were trying to make that enterprise believe that you were returning the bike, and you considered that the bike was still an extension of yours when it was no more. So I answered the Daily Mail question by saying, absolutely, the bike was owned by the white lady. You cannot have claims of harms and theft on something that you have to abandon, because keeping it would be fraudulent, or keeping it would be higher charge for you. If you deny the charge, then it's a communal city bike. If you don't want to pay the higher charge to take it more than 45 minutes, then it is a communal city bike. And anyone who puts their credit card there, it's theirs. So here we have the whole story, I believe. Now that I've seen this explanation, this guy was trying to claim a property in the dock, but once it's in the dock, it's no more your property. Chuck Garrity says there are layers of incorrectness on his behalf. Yeah, I mean, the story was already bad enough. It's on top of it, your defense is, I was defrauding the city bike. I was defrauding the 45 minutes for poor people that they gave me, because I get this bike basically for free. I'm sure, I don't know how much he pays, but I'm sure that the rebate is enormous. So basically, you were claiming a bike for free. You wanted to keep claiming it for free against the rules. And that's what led you into this conflict. You are absolutely not grounded in law or in morals. New guy says he had a scam and she foiled it. Exactly. This is the effect of white people on your society. White people are so honorable that just their presence, I mean, she didn't want to file the scam, but just their presence and just their acting within the rules will mess up with your dirty plans. Isn't that fascinating? That's an amount of wealth that should be quantified. If there's ever reparations, and I think there should be, I think that black people should pay reparations to white people. But we should include this in the accounting. We should include that, hey, just the presence of this lady here kept you from committing a crime of fraud. She saved you from your own criminal nature. Isn't that beautiful? William says, now let's send it live to our men on the streets, Dan Plant, who will give you a demonstration on how to never relax. That is a beautiful news moment where, holy shit, this guy knows. This guy knows how to do a report on the streets and knows the kind of dangers he is exposing himself to. That is how you need to act if you're stuck in the city if you're forced to go to the city. That is exactly how you need to act at all times.
In fact, he's right here. And we're just hoping that he doesn't actually stick us with this needle. What's up, man? What's in your hand? What's in your hand, bro? Huh?
The guy has a needle and a syringe. He's clearly up to no good. There is no explanation where you are creepily walking while hiding your face with a fucking needle. This guy is about to inject someone with AIDS. I mean, I can see it happening. I can see it in my brain as I generate possible future scenarios. Andy Warski walks here, crosses the street, and boom! Syringe of AIDS right in the thigh. Andy Warski, totally HIV'd. I mean, but I love the reaction of the journalist.
Yeah, you might want to keep that away from me. We got you on video.
Okay, that is playing a little too tough guy. If you really want to avoid trouble, I wouldn't go as far as to provoke them and to tell them, you might want to get this away from me. I think he was doing it for the camera. Of course, it makes a good show, but here, arguably, he has been exposing himself to more risks than he needed to. You certainly don't want to taunt the guy with the syringe and say, you might want to keep this away from me. I'm a tough guy. It's like, no, you're not a tough guy. You're probably 30 years older than this guy. I don't think you get a chance. If he lunges at you with this syringe, you probably get AIDS.
Yeah, so he's got a needle. I don't know who's going to stick with it, but this is a dangerous place out here, as evidenced by what I just showed you, and I don't really want to turn my back on this guy. I don't know who he's going to go stick. Is he going to go stick somebody? There's the kids. There's all the children. So you got the guy with the needle in the gray hoodie, and you got the children walking past him from E3, the school. If that doesn't say it all, I don't know what does. In fact, he's right here.
Absolutely irresponsible to be educating children in this environment. We now have updated requirements from female dating world. We went from 6'6"s to 6'7" or 8. Cecilia, 21, a graduate of Johnson & Wales University in 2025. You must have 2 out of 3 of those, 6 feet, 7 figures, or 8 inch. Well, do I qualify? I'm not very high. I don't have 6 feet. But I might very well qualify for this girl, Cecilia. Interesting, the 3 conditions. You have to make $1 million per year. Rodilacid says, the black guy doesn't care about being on video. Only the reporter thinks there are any consequences to being on camera. Yeah, I don't think he had the leverage that he thinks he has. I think he got lucky here that somehow this black guy didn't want problems specifically at that moment with that guy. You got lucky, reporter. You got lucky. A new guy says, no, taunt him. They operate out of fear. The problem with taunting is that it can escalate. And what's the point? I mean, if you're making a show, if you're a journalist and you're like, hey, I care for my content. I care for my content so much that I'm willing to get injected with AIDS live on TV because I think it will make a lot of clicks, that I can respect. But if you think that this is the attitude that gets you into the least conflict in town, not at all. You see so many of these conflicts. I've been looking at so much social media videos in my life where it's like the tough guy attitude, like, oh, bro. There's a cycle of escalation here. And each of these bro, I'm like, oh, this could have ended there. Like, if he hadn't said the other bro, this guy wouldn't have answered bro. This guy, therefore, wouldn't have put his hand up. This guy wouldn't have replied by pushing the other guy. It's like, careful with the throwing bros like this. John Drake says, is it an and or proposition by this broad? No, I think it's a 2 out of 3 multi-sig blockchain approval mechanism. Your dick signs a proof of length on the blockchain. Your salary signs another, and then your height signs another. And if you got 2 out of 3, you transfer the bitcoins. Lendold Guntram says, if you are ready to pull the trigger faster than getting an AIDS injection, then maybe. Yeah, it depends on how much. Perhaps this journalist was fully equipped and perhaps he was ready to play straight shooter instantly if that happened. Okay, perhaps I hadn't considered that possibility. Elon Musk has had his interview with the Babylon Bee published. I watched it, a full interview, the Babylon Bee talks with Elon Musk. Those are bad interviews, man. Those are bad interviews. First, Elon Musk doesn't speak clearly very much into the mic, and so at times you're like, blah, 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 with his South African accent, and he's kind of mumbling. Secondly, Babylon Bee doesn't extract much info from him. They were trying to get him to reveal stuff about, hey, did you have internal pushback when you came and unbanned all these people? Did you have, or was it mostly the advertiser? Or did you have employees who were revolting against you? And Elon doesn't reveal much on this side. He's like, oh, it was all chaotic, you know? So he repeats that answer 2 or 3 times in the interview. It was all chaotic, but... you know, as an interviewer, it's your job to push back. It's your job to say, well, we really want to know. So what was the most controversial, like, opposition that you've had with one of your employees that you ended up firing? That is the kind of thing you want to ask. But they ask general questions, and therefore they get general answers. So Elon Musk lays out his view for free speech and his vision for Twitter, people uploading videos, etc. People, creators being rewarded for ad revenue, like YouTube. I'm very excited about all this. T.S. Apostolos says, Babylon Bee CEO is Jewish, but they claim Christian. Well, here's what the Babylon Bee CEO says, because I've been doing research on this. He is ethnically Jewish, but he has accepted Jesus in his heart, which makes him a Christian. And you have to give it to him. He is correct by the standard of you guys, the Christians. So perhaps it's time to review your rules, dear Christians. No, but seriously, I mean, it shows just how open Christianity is. It's true that is what Christianity is. It is, if you accept, if you say that you accept Jesus, and if they don't know about your personal life and they don't know, and I'm not talking about Seth Dillon here, but in general, if a convert to Christianity doesn't show clear evidence that he's committing crimes or he's acting against Christian morals in some way, then he's Christian. The Africans, the South Americans who are converting to Christianity, they are Christian. Rodilacid says, does his 23andMe give a percentage of how Jewish he is? I don't have that degree of information on Seth Dillon. But what I can tell you is Seth Dillon seems so much more important than I originally thought. I believe he has been selected as the chosen one among the network of pro-DeSantis people, Elon Musk, Babylon Bee. You know, these interviews that Elon Musk does on Babylon Bee is, it's more important than it looks. It looks like they're just chilling. But what we have here is, I think, an attempt at taking the Republican Party under control by a form of centrist, even center-left. That's what we're seeing. It struck me today that James O'Keefe, what happened to him is exactly what happened to Tucker Carlson. He's been targeted for removal from the public space. And there's probably the same set of interests behind the two moves. And the two moves, when you think about it, they happened at the same time. So I'm going to conjecture something here tonight. Someone in the background paid both for James O'Keefe and Tucker Carlson to be taken out of the public space, each through their own method, but methods that show the very same core signature. Some dirtying on the public space, some sharing of videos, some allegations being made by the entourage, and then the two of them. And when you think about it, Tucker Carlson, there's been a lot of noise around Dominion and the Dominion legal case being at the root of his removal. When you think about it, another right-wing type of public personality who has done a lot of stuff on election fraud is James O'Keefe. Is it possible that the commonality between the two is that they were identified with a brand of conservatism / right-wing thinking that they are trying to kick out of the Republican Party? Is it possible that the allegations that suddenly started stemming against James O'Keefe were ultimately aiming to paralyze his speech on the public space in sight of, yes, new guy, the election's coming? Project Veritas sues James O'Keefe. And I read the full complaint. So here's the thing. They are arguing that they never fired James O'Keefe. They suspended him. So their argument goes as follows. First, we suspended him with salary. And he was still under contract, and we were still paying him. So he was still ordered to do everything in his power to contribute to the company, but it's just that he was suspended. He didn't have control of the company, but he still owed us loyalty. Now, that may make sense as long as they were paying him. But then they argue on a technicality that then we invited him to a board meeting and he didn't show up. And that, James O'Keefe had his own defense on this. He was saying that they were trying to get him into a process that had no due process at all, where he would have been facing all sorts of ridiculous accusations. And so James O'Keefe has already commented on this. But then they say, so since he didn't come to that meeting, we suspended him without salary. But he was still an employee of us. He still owed us loyalty. And then they say in his contract, it was saying that he should not steal information about donors, and he should not pursue his own enterprises for up to a year after being fired by Project Veritas. So that was the contract of employment linking him to Project Veritas. Now, I will say that's questionable. Once you don't pay someone, you have potentially been breaching your own part of the contract with him, and it should be assumed that it's a form of firing. They're trying to get their cake and eat it too. They're trying to say, we want to keep it keep him unpaid and silenced, and we want this to continue going on for an indeterminate amount of time while we do our investigation on these allegations. I think it's kind of unfair, kind of an overreach from the Project Veritas side. I believe that once they had acted, and that will be probably the James O'Keefe reply to this complaint. James O'Keefe will come and he will say, well, they started publishing bad allegations about me. They started making me look bad. So they broke the link of confidence that this contract was based on. So once this contract was void, I can do whatever I want. This is what he will argue, and I would say probably successfully. All of the allegations in there, at best, I see a couple of them surviving that perhaps James O'Keefe, in starting so quick and soliciting donors so quick that were formerly part of the Project Veritas donor role, perhaps the judge will give Project Veritas $100,000. But it will be insignificant for James O'Keefe. I believe he will be able to bring a defense to almost all of these claims. He will argue that the contract was no more valid, that the breach of trust relationship was actually caused by Project Veritas themselves, and the judge is going to say, okay, well, clearly the relationship here doesn't work anymore, so I'm going to try to balance the harms and perhaps give money one side or another, but basically, I don't see a judge coming to silence James O'Keefe on political matter. And this is what's striking me in this complaint. It's what they are asking for. If they were just asking for money, I would say, okay, might go one way or another. It's not going to be a massive amount of money because the claims are limited to $100,000 per breach. Maybe they'll prove one claim. Maybe they'll prove a couple of them. Maybe they'll get a reimbursement of attorney fees. But that's it. But what they are asking for is for O'Keefe to be enjoined by the court from continuing to what they claim is a misappropriation of their donor role. They want to silence James O'Keefe. They want him to be unable to raise money. But the problem is the part of this complaint, the only evidence that it truly provides that James O'Keefe has been stealing material from Project Veritas is the fact that on the donor email list that James O'Keefe has sent emails to solicit funding for his new organization, O'Keefe Media Group, two of these people were also on the list of Project Veritas. I don't think that's enough to make a case in court that James O'Keefe must have had those names through theft of intellectual property. Perhaps James O'Keefe can come into court and say, hey, these donors have just subscribed to our mailing list like every other potential donors. I haven't targeted them because they were part of Project Veritas, but perhaps they enjoy giving to Project Veritas and they themselves subscribed to the mailing list. So I don't think that Project Veritas has that much of a good case that theft of intellectual property or trade secret has happened here. And I would be very surprised if, although you never know these days with the leftist judges, but I would be very surprised if a judge said, all right, I'm shutting down O'Keefe for a whole year while we figure this out. So I think that the silencing of James O'Keefe will be largely unsuccessful here. But the fact that they go for this tells me what this is really about. They're not interested in money that much. They're not interested at continuing the role of Project Veritas going forward. They're interested at silencing James O'Keefe. And this tells me that this has been the goal from the beginning. And look at everything they've done. They suspended him. Then they suspended him with indeterminate time while doing an investigation on ridiculous allegations. That looks like basically everything that makes them happy is when James O'Keefe cannot speak. That tells me we might have a case here of dark money leading to the corruption of a corporation. I would hope that there are laws developed to address this, because in theory, it's a form of tortious interference to be paying people to make decisions that are not truly in the interest of the company, but they're in the interest of a competitor. But that's what's happening here. We have dark money funding operations against the greatest people on the center right to try to put them away from the public space. And I would like it if our laws, our system of laws, were more aggressive against this kind of practice. Because this is not the first time. It happened at a mass scale with censorship. YouTube developing a partnership with ADL, and ADL then telling YouTube, please ban this guy, please ban this guy. Those are extremely dirty ways of destroying the free market. And it's especially important in the intellectual domain that there be a free market of thought and ideas, or else you have a bunch of puppet masters and you give them way too much control. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. Rodi Lucid says, Tucker is still being paid by Fox, even off-air. Don't think James was being paid by Project Veritas. Exactly. And it does change a lot of the perspective, because Fox News can claim that they have some sort of a claim against Tucker, but I don't think they can get to the point of claiming that Tucker cannot publish a video on Twitter. Given First Amendment considerations, I would be very surprised if any judge was to say, all right, you cannot even express your personal opinion on Twitter. Now, Tucker may be limited in the ways he can monetize and in the ways he can market any enterprise that he would build on Twitter. But I'm pretty sure there will never be an order that says you cannot have a political opinion on your Twitter account. The 29 Republicans who voted no on the debt ceiling rule. So as I predicted, the Republicans fell in line and they voted for the debt extension. That's just a pre-rule voting, but tonight we will have the full voting for the official debt extension. So they're trying to sort out, they're trying to find enough support on the Democrat side, but I wouldn't be surprised that it passes. I would be surprised if there's not enough cocked centrist in the Congress to pass this huge expansion of the debt ceiling. And man, only 29 revolted Republicans. That is very low. It's not many Republicans. I believe it's not even a majority of those Republicans in the House. So you have people like Matt Gaetz. It was very weird how the crew of Marjorie Taylor Greene, Thomas Massey, kind of basish kind of politicians, they sided with the extension of the debt ceiling. They sided with putting it up, and something tells me they must have been bought out, because usually those are the first to be in some kind of revolt against the rest of the party. But somehow they came, and even this morning they were saying, oh, it's a good deal. It's a good deal because it's the first time we get to cut government budget in history. And I'm like, how does that work? How do you cut government budget, but you have to increase the debt ceiling? And it's like, oh, well, it's a cut with respect to that year. But okay, so but you're still getting into more debt because you have to. It's like those people who are saying, all right, let's get a higher ceiling on our credit card limit. And then they're like, we're not going to use it. We're gonna be very wise about it, but we're gonna get a higher limit on the credit card. Of course, at some point you're going to use it, and at some point you're going to get trapped in a debt hole. This is how your white daughters are being treated in American public schools. Yeah, you know, when I look at these scenes of conflict, you're not gonna make me believe that her whiteness is not at play here, in the reactions, in the attacks against her. It's all about the hate for white people and this grouping of people against single individual whites is what we keep seeing every time.
Where's your friend? Where's your friend? Where's your friend?
Where's your friend?
Where's your friend?
Where's your friend?
Where's your friend? Where's your friend?
See, very aggressive, lunging toward the person while she remains calm. She remains, not oppositional. They have a problem with her existing.
Mama!
And there you go. Initiation of the battle by the black woman. Those are extremely inefficient ways to hit people. Like, you invest so much energy in moving the whole arm, and you're basically absorbing your own hit on them with the larger possible surface area by hitting with the whole interior of the elbow. That is not how you strike people. And see all of these people around taking hits on the white woman, the white girl. The teachers aren't able to protect your kids in school at this point. All right, so one more video into our archive. As debt deal inches towards Senate, McConnell prepares for battle with conservative holdouts. I don't think there's going to be enough holdouts. They just need the Democrats and then a couple of, like, what is it, one or two on the Republican side. I think they're... It will not likely need at least 10 or 20 yes votes from Senate Republicans in order for it to move to President Biden. The bill is likely to get over 40 Senate Democratic votes. Okay, so because there are holdouts on the side of the Democrats, they will need 10 to 20 yes, but it's going to pass. There are just way too many centrists who feed on this whole idea of extending government size, keeping the government growing forever. I mean, at some point, to a certain extent, the leftist doesn't care all that much where the money goes. If the government can keep growing, they have this vision that, oh, in the future, we can redirect these budgets to truly helping people. So the mentality of the leftist is ever-growing government. People were sharing this video. We might have seen it before, this video. I have, it's hard for me to tell at this point. There are so many of them. Olive Garden fight.
Oh,
I believe that a focaccia with black olives has just been thrown. Oh, I believe those were napkins. You can't operate an Olive Garden anymore. I mean, how do you want to be profitable with tomato soup and mushroom appetizers and crap spaghetti with olive oil? Tables were thrown. Respect the focaccia, says new guy. We have an Italian member in our regular chat. Rocco ETH has published a meme because people are laughing at how the attitude has changed, because there was a time like 1 month ago where Karine Jean, is that her name? Karine Jean? Something like this, Jean-Pierre, Karine Jean-Pierre, has been laughing at the question of AI, but now that it's fashionable, she's like, real shit. 23 years of research papers, philosophical arguments, empirical evidence, Moore's Law, progress, theorems, complete lack of sane counter-arguments, and I would add to this list, Rocco, the revolutionary phenotype. Part of our knowledge on the dangers of AI. She laughs 1 month ago, but now that it's the fashionable subject, oh, this is the high status belief now? Real shit. And she answers, yeah, we're taking this very seriously. Go Away says, that's why JF endorses the ghost kitchens of Mr. Beast Burger. Can't have fights break out if you don't have a physical location. Exactly. Let's get into the cloud. Let's make these burgers happen just in the physical universe. But you take the risk of harm if you start a fight, because you're going to have to start a fight in your own home. John Drake says, with TRP, we don't even need a list. Exactly. TRP is the exact way by which people will end up self-annihilating. And I can't believe that it's not making more noise than this. Aaron McIntyre says, in The Total State, your board game teaches you an important lesson about the imperial faith. ABC News was saying, board games like Monopoly, Clue, and The Game of Life are iconic in many Americans' lives and in pop culture. Now, some designers are exploring a wider range of topics, including how to use games to spark discussion about bigger issues. No, please. Please don't make it so that Monopoly comes with some woke moral to it. It's like, oh yeah, you know, I had never considered this, but the people living on the Baltic Sea, you know, and the Orient Avenue, They are disadvantaged. They are underprivileged if you compare them with the Promenade or the North Carolina Avenue or whatever it is. Spindly Opinion says they made a Black Inventions board game and they were nearly all fake. Oh yeah, I've seen these memes penetrate the internet. You know, some of these memes got to me where someone was strongly claiming that, oh no, no, the Black people have invented the light, the, you know, the bulb, the the light bulb. And I was like, yeah, that it seems like you are on a quest of a conclusion that you had reached in advance. It seems that you are pushing a talking point. End Wokeness says 53 people shot in Chicago over Memorial Day weekend. Where's the NAACP travel advisory? Excellent question. Because the NAACP, the whatever, National African American Association, whatever, they say to black people in America, don't go to Florida. Because Florida has a history of hating black people. And yet they don't have a travel advisory against Chicago. Well, in Chicago, they kill black people. I mean, do you want to be oppressed in Florida or killed in Chicago? Well, the NAACP is telling us that being killed in Chicago, at least, is better because you are not living under the oppression of Ron DeSantis. Someone shared this with me and asked my views about this. Question for the dissident right. Should becoming a state national / opting out of taxes and anti-constitutional laws be encouraged for people in our movement? What would be the effect if we did this en masse? Becoming an American state national is a process of reclaiming your birthright, political status as a sovereign and private person who is not a citizen of any government. It involves completing and recording certain documents to expatriate from presumed territorial and municipal citizenships and to adopt a specific American state as your permanent home and domicile. You can follow online courses or contact your state coordinator or recorder to help you with this process. Please note that this is different from becoming an American citizen, which requires completing an application, taking a test, and having an interview. no black tie, I'm going to ban you if you keep using this word. I don't like these things of sovereign citizens because they are largely bullshit. You can have all these little texts, these little forum posts that say, oh yeah, you can do this, and yeah, you know, with maritime law, they made you this, and all you have to do is, just throw some powdered bat while standing into the ocean, and as you release it, it totally abdicates all government authority over you, and yeah, you do have to fill this form, and then burn your birth certificate and you're good. The thing is, you're not good. The federal government will apply its laws, whether you consider them constitutional or not. There will be judges from the system that don't consider you a sovereign citizen. So all of it is bullshit. Now, if you want to do the sovereign citizen thing seriously, you need to do like one of these guys who had built a platform onto the ocean and was living on it in international waters. But even that guy ended up being, captured, or at least his platform was destroyed, I think, by the Chinese government or something like this. There is no way to escape the government. These theoretical ways are just ways to convince yourself that you are sovereign, but it's not going to happen. When the police arrest you, you will follow his orders and his ways of doing, and yelling, I'm a sovereign citizen, doesn't save you from anything. We've seen it again and again in video, and it's going to be the same thing for the federal authorities if you cause them any problem. So, I'm not super enthusiastic about these projects because they mislead people toward thinking of sovereignty. Now, I'm all for the principle. I think you should be able to opt out from the government, but we are definitely not there. Durley says, JF, I was watching your show with my casually and crudely racist friend the other day, and he could hardly believe when you said, someone may be more similar to a stranger than a mixed-race baby, lol. Yeah, it is a stunning mathematical realization. But it is true. I calculated it, and on this other show that you mentioned, we had a confirmation of this, that my calculations were right. Yeah. If you are more related to a random European that lives beside you than you are to your own child that you had with an African woman.
Wow.
That is stunning, but that is what it is. Twitter, worth a third of Musk's purchase price, says stakeholder Fidelity. Twitter is worth just $15 billion, according to Fidelity's latest valuation of its own stake in the social media platform. That's about a third of the $44 billion price Elon Musk paid for the company in October. I don't think we have to be worried about this. I think that discounting your investment is something totally natural, especially in this particular case where everyone knew that the price paid was unreasonable. It's like, it's just a joke by Elon Musk, basically, to have decided to buy it at 54.20. I don't think we have to be worried about this. I think in the long term, Twitter is winning because Twitter is becoming a very unique place of the internet that has desirable intellectual engagement. So from there, it can only grow. And if Elon Musk succeeds at implementing his crazy projects and his big vision, then it can be a competitor for anything else on the internet. So it's a little bit when you buy a new car, the minute you drove it to your home, it has lost a lot of value. It's not a new car anymore. But that doesn't mean you won't derive the value that you expect from it. But that is a longer term fight for Twitter. Leaks have Team DeSantis rattled. They are frantically trying to figure out who leaked the campaign strategy session from their globalist donor retreat last weekend. Some people are saying it's John Cardillo, maybe Reboy, maybe Christina Pusha herself.
If anyone on his staff, campaign or official, were to leak to mainstream media, they would be fired. So nobody leaks.
Isn't that fascinating? National conservatism. See, this is subversion. Because it's not conservative nationalism. Definitely not. It's national conservatism in the sense of, take the conservatism of Ron DeSantis, and instead of doing it at the Floridian level, do it at the national level. But see, it has this little tint of maybe it's based. No, it's not based. They're trying to appeal to the based crowd without taking any commitment on nationalism. National conservatism, one of the most deceptive pair of words I've ever seen. Now, someone noted that Christina Pusha is very weird. She looks modified, indeed. Look, this is makeup practice that is absolutely disgusting. She has added such, like, over-brown, tanned makeup, which completes very poorly with the rest of her white skin, which creates an impression that she has two spots of light just stemming from her jowls. Look at this.
And actually...
I mean, this is not normal. You don't want to create this, Christina. You are a beautiful woman. Although I disagree with you a lot, and you are the reason why I had to give up supporting DeSantis, I have to admit that you are beautiful. But you are beautiful if you don't modify yourself to that extent. That is undesirable. Ah, Mengele has a theory. He says, bugged. I have heard through the grapevines that the Bogdanov brothers never die. They merely find they merely find a new host.
So nobody leaks. So nobody leaks.
So nobody leaks.
Now, I'm just looking for some talking points to get more dollars. That's all I'm looking for.
Get more dollars. Adjust the talking points in a way as to get more dollars.
I want a primary in order to be in the general. Fair enough.
I don't think you're talking about pro-choice voting. You just want to skip over it. You have to point out that this is a major step forward for the Republican Party in terms of moving to the middle on the abortion issue. Abortion is legal.
Moving to the middle on the abortion issue. After all, abortion is legal in Florida. Wow. Interesting discussions on those globalist retreats that Ron DeSantis... Man, I dodged a bullet by giving up Ron DeSantis early. Because I felt that something was wrong with this Christina Pucha. I felt that, okay, that means that Ron DeSantis is going in a direction that I didn't expect at all. So it looks like this is really where DeSantis is headed, taking over the Republican Party and making it a middle pleaser. Okay, a little video edit here. Who's the leaker? I have no idea. Most online influencers are huge frauds with a screaming narrative of their own trauma they dump on the internet. In Rollery's case, he knocked up an older post-wall, his term, woman, in his late 20s, then wifed her up. Rollery never wanted children and family, so he's resented the whole thing ever since. That's why he never had more kids. He hates the entire situation. This list of stupid shit is just a venting of his own life choices and how much he hates his life. Midlife crisis stuff. He's always negative because he views his entire adult life as a huge negative. To be clear, it's insane to resent building a family and creating new human life. Rollery is anti-life, anti-family, anti-masculinity, and always has been. And he's quoting here something that I had reviewed in the past of Rollo Tomasi, saying the quickest path to becoming a high-value man: 1. Do not get married. 2. Avoid family creation. 3. Vasectomy in your 20s. 4. Lift constantly. 5. Eliminate all sedations. 6. Learn game and networking. 7. Play to your strengths. Build wealth. 8. Resist easing up on your focus. That is not Manosphere discourse. That is just pure anti-natalist subversion. Now, there are people in the comments of this tweet that are saying, oh, he was being sarcastic. I don't know, man. It doesn't eliminate all sedations. That doesn't sound like someone who's making a joke. That doesn't sound like someone who's giving false advice to ridicule it later. I mean, to me, it looks like Jewish subversion of white societies. And recently there's been a thread that I retweeted on Twitter where it is shown that Rollo Tomasi is Jewish. I didn't even know that when when I entered in conflict with him and when I started criticizing him. But it turns out that Rollo Tomasi is Jewish. He is from a Jewish family, a Jewish father. And he adopted the name George Miller to to pass in America, to pass in the US. A wild video shows a woman gets distracted while driving as her car flies through the air after launching off the ramp of a tow truck. Watch as wild jaw-dropping body cam footage captured by Georgia police shows the moment. We have people driving on our roads. They can't even see a big truck like this in front of them. This is dangerous.
And they're now 10-50 rollover. 1,000-second EMS immediate roll.
Whoa.
President second EMS immediate roll.
She is lucky it was a ramp, not a truck. Yeah, I mean, she could have just... if the truck was just lifted, she probably wouldn't have flown. She would have her head chopped by this right here. I mean, if this was lifted, it was bam, right in her face. Anyways, she has survived, apparently, the jump, but with serious injuries. So you can see that she's rolling, making a complete half a roll until impact, then completes another roll or two, and then gets back on her tire. So serious injuries, but no death. DK Shadow says, how many style points did she get? Yeah, I mean, you can't help but think of it from a GTA or, you know, some of these games where you get points for doing spectacular stuff. Obstructionist and unacceptable. House GOP to hold FBI director in contempt of Congress. FBI director Christopher Wray has refused to comply with a May 30 deadline to hand over a document alleging that then Vice President Joe Biden and a foreign national were allegedly involved in a criminal scheme, announced House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer. Well, not surprising, doing the FBI doing the bidding of the Biden family. We've had plenty of evidence come to light showing that there was a big guy, showing that there was a big guy who was promised money, and no doubt the big guy was Joe Biden. This was all organized by his son. And yeah, it would be nice publicly to have access to the discussions of the FBI, because I'm sure there's an FBI agent who speculated there on, well, maybe it's a crime, you know, a big guy like this getting money for for basically biasing the decisions of the state for private individuals in China. That looks like a crime. Adults changing tables are now Minnesota law in all new public restrooms. So now we have, you know, the baby diapers changing table. They're discriminatory because there are adults that have to change diapers. They suffer from some handicap, and it's considered too insulting for them. It's considered too ungraceful to have them change their diaper while standing or while being laid out on the floor of the bathroom, which is not sanitary. And so now Minnesota is imposing the presence of these adult changing diaper table, where a whole electronic system can lift an entire human being so that you can change their diaper. This is an example of the state imposing things on businesses. I don't know if it will be imposed on all businesses, but they seem to say that it's law. The new law is set to go into effect in January. It will mean any large public buildings like movie theaters, malls, and stadiums will have to be built with adult changing tables. Theaters are barely surviving. I mean, have you gone to the theater? There's no one. At this point, theaters are probably surviving on black market money and dirty dealings. No one wants to go see movies anymore. And they're going to have to invest on this super advanced medical electronic, basically. There's going to be all sorts of checkups, and you're going to have to pay an inspector that will come to confirm that the table is safe every year. All of this for a very, very small minority. This is an example of the state imposing conditions on businesses that make them unviable. I mean, there's not ever going to be enough people using that table in a theater to fund its own price. There's never going to be $20,000 of tickets purchased by handicapped people that will ever pay for the table. Vote Mad says, good cause, China, but all the theaters and the... I will not use that term. Vote Mad. But thank you for your comment. John Drake says, horrible. I went with my wife last week. Totally dead. Yeah, the theaters are... I mean, how do they even pay the three employees that are there to sell you popcorn? I don't get it. I don't get how the theater business is surviving. Conservative rappers slam Target for targeting your kids. Okay, this is an example of bad music being used for a good conservative cause. It's not particularly interesting. We can listen to a little peek. There's a cleanup on every aisle. Need to ask, cause you all know what it is. Yeah, that's why I keep a strap. And I'm always by my beds. This agenda gotta stop. Yeah, you know we gonna win when they target, target. Yeah, they target in. Target, target. Yeah, they target kids. Target, target. Yeah, they target in. Target, target. Yeah, they target kids. You know the targets, they're wrong. All right, it's not even good rap, and it's not good music, and rap isn't good music, but that's not even good rap. That being said, you know, it's what music is bound to become in this age of consumption on the internet, where, all right, people want to be in the mimetic stream. David Smith says, this is gayer than Target. It is. It is kind of gayer than the gay bottle. Gayer than the LGBT flagged gay bottle. Yes, it is gay. It's what we're going to have, because there's no place for true artistry, great production. There's no more place for profound music. So basically, music has become a meme. And memes are cheap, and they need to be done quick to catch the drift of a kind of ideological movement. So these guys are capable of writing a rap about Target within 24 hours, produce the video, and put it on Apple iTunes. So that's what it is. It is kind of sad that this is the music we get. Black Tie says, idiocracy. Yes, Vote Mad says, idiocracy was a good movie, but the cheap Hollywood producers didn't want to fund it. Well, it turned out very good, and watching idiocracy still as of today is very rewarding. It gains with time. Barnaby Brito says, in the same vein as Nick Fuentes as the savior of the white race, we now have gay music for based causes. That's what we have. Very well described. You may live to see man-made horrors beyond your comprehension. Teenager Iman Hussein and two friends are arrested in Syracuse, New York area for killing and eating the town swan and stealing her four babies. Look at the guy smiling.
Anything to say?
You have to be a fucking psychopath. Why don't we throw this guy 20 years, 40 years in jail? Because if this guy did this to a swan that had four babies, what is he gonna do to human beings? Just spur violence against the animal world for the fun of it. Absolutely disgusting. Mark D says, still better than a vegan, no? Well, the vegan is leading to the death of all farm animals forever. So yes, the vegan is a worst case of genocide. And as a last news item, a girl here is adopting a controversial ableist stance. Very interesting. I love that she's doing the little walk to mock the guy in a wheelchair. Her statements have been controversial on Twitter. Some people say that it's kind of bitchy as a behavior. But perhaps that she had a reason to be in conflict with the guy in the wheelchair. She looks like she may be Asian. Yeah, she's kind of cute, definitely. Very cute. Maybe South Asian, maybe a little bit of East Asian genetic, maybe Filipinos. Extremely sexy. Maybe a prostitute, or certainly a form of prostitution. I don't know if it's like paid by the night or paid by the 10 years, but definitely a form of prostitution. But sometimes there are these based Asians. They show in unexpected places.
Thank you.